Like yesterday, I'm hanging. Let's do it. There's other places, Lord. Come on.
Really?
And I have been asked and gone on the mission field about 5 different times. And I always go, God. And I love my people that have the call, the grace to go to these places. So hang out, talk to them. They are the called and anointed to go to places that Pastor Nico would go. But I go, and I really love giving money to, and they serve in the mission field in Africa. They're doing a whole bunch of wonderful things, just wonderful. So anyway, okay, how else can I get distracted tonight? Who else can I call you on the spot? Cash. So I didn't go roller skating last night because 2 of my kids said, don't you dare. It wasn't yet. Ma, they start the sentence like that. Ma, you cost too much. But I think if, who is that fast person zipping around? There's some, over there. So if you weren't there, I probably would do it. Just you guys zip around. It's like, Okay, another thing. So I want to apologize. I did do this last minute, ask you. Okay, but as we have worship, you aren't supposed to listen to this. This makes sense to Brad and I, okay, and my worship team, but that's okay. They record this, But this, the whole worship sense, where we're going. So, you know, just figure it out. Okay. So, my guys in the sound booth, I walk in there always last minute. By the way, can you do this? By the way, can you do that? And I did it to Brad. He says, you should try this on Wednesday. I go, I know, but this morning is 6 o'clock. I got this, so, you know, there you go. All right, open up your Bibles. We're going to jump in Genesis 28. And we're going to pick up in the middle of the story. And I'm not going to go through the whole back 2 chapters, but we're going to talk about this guy named Jacob. Raise your hand if you ever heard of Jacob. Raise your name, hand if your name is Jacob. The Bible. Okay, so there's this guy named Jacob, and he is the most unlikely person that I think God should pick to do stuff. I'm like, what? You gotta be kidding. Because in, you know, the chapters that I tell you about before, he's like a liar and a cheater and a liar and a cheater and deceiver and blah, 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 blah. And God picks him to have an encounter with God, and then that encounter changes his whole life. And I'm going, wow, okay. And so in the story, we'll get there. He's on the run because of all the stuff he did. He's running, you know, and he has this encounter and change, right? So this morning, I really want to talk about this idea of having an encounter in the presence of God. An encounter in the presence of God. And that's the main idea. That's where we're going. And my prayer for myself, my prayer for you, is that you would desire a change in your life, and that the Holy Spirit would just draw you into such a deep place where you just, I want the presence. I want the experience. I want to just know this Father that's mine. That was my prayer. Amen. So, you know, the last couple of years, you know, COVID pandemic, crazy, right? Just crazy. And, you know, I saw a picture, actually, I was looking at one of the pictures of one of my little grandkids, like 2.5 years old or 3, wearing a mask. So crazy what happened, right? And, you know, so a lot of crazy. We went through it. I thought, man, been there, went through it. I feel like I'm on the other side of it, and I got to this place where I said, Lord, none of that matters, and I'm so glad I'm through it, but none of that matters unless I have you. Lord, all that I do, all that you point me to, Lord, none of that matters unless I have you. And I look at so many of your faces, and, you know, the last couple of years we've shared, we've cried, we've talked, we've prayed, and I see that you're in that same thing with, Lord, you know, thank you for Jesus, but I just want to be with you. Lord, I need you. That's really the beginning and the end all. Lord, just to hang with you, to be known by you. That's it. That's all I want, Lord. So we're going to talk about that today. And I pray that you leave here different. Because I got to a place in life, and I kind of have to catch it. Sometimes I get my GPS gets lost there. But I got it. I was like, Lord, I don't want to play Christian. I can play Christian. Anybody can play Christian, you know? And I don't want to play church, and I don't want to play pastor. Lord, I want to know you. I want my life to be known of you. I want to walk with you and talk with you. And, you know, the sad part is I run into nobody here, not looking at anybody, but I run into a whole bunch of Christians. And it's sad. They have never experienced a real presence of God. They've never. And, you know, some of them don't even know it's an option. They just know Romans Road, you believe in your heart, you confess in the mouth, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. And, you know, and then we have our tenets of faith. And if I do all of those things and I say all the things, that's pretty good. And I want to go pat you on the back. That's good. But, come on, guys. But how about there's this invitation from the Father? There's an invitation from the Father. And he says, hey, I want to know you. I want to know the deep things of your life, right? And maybe you can experience me and know me. So if I have to give a title of today, is you are invited. You are all invited to the presence of God, to have an encounter with him. You are invited. Matter of fact, the Bible says you're called, but I think an invitation just sounds really good. So today we're going to talk about this invitation for a little bit, and then we're going to practice it. Because, you know, I don't know how many times I cram for a test. Just cram that knowledge in. And then the next day I'm like, I don't know, I don't remember a thing. You know, but those times I study and I do it, you know, it's so much better. All right. So today, for some of you, this might be the first time. The first time where you're going to have an experience. I say this, and some people get a little wacko on this, but like a real, feel, tangible experience with the presence of God. Okay? And you won't be able to put words to it. You'll just go, wow. And some of you, you've had this, but you're going to be moved even deeper, to a deeper place with this, wow, thing with God, right? Okay, some of you, it's going to be, and again, I always say, it's just this feel of this real joy. You're just going to, so we're going to do this today. We're going to talk about it, I'm going to instruct, and then we're going to do it. And some of you just going to feel, some of you might even have tears, and that will be the presence of God, right? And some of us, and I have to say this, heads up, some of you are going to be like, we're going into the presence of God, okay? We're going to experience this. But some of you, you're at the end, when we do this, is you're like, wow, man, wow, that's really happening with them. And over there, you've got tears. And God, I don't feel nothing. I must not get nothing. I've had these conversations. So I want to preface and say, God is always with us. If you have asked Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of your life, he said, I am always with you. I will never leave you. I will never walk out the door with you, okay? So I want you to know this, because it's not always the feeling, all right? It's not always the crying and tearing, okay? So God is with us. All right, so you're sort of, this is like where we're going here, all right? Let's go back to our scripture. I didn't get lost in this here. Genesis chapter 28. Jacob is running, he's fleeing from his family because he caused a whole bunch of drama. All right, here we go. Genesis 28, starting in verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba and he set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, everybody say certain place. At the end of this message, you're going to know what I'm talking about, right? When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. He was taking one of the stones there, and he put it under his pillow to lay down to sleep. I don't think it was that one of those My Pillows guy. No, I don't think that was it, okay? They don't have an infomercial about the rock there. They put. Verse 12, he had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with the top reaching heaven, and the angels of God were there, ascending and descending, and there above it stood the Lord. Okay, so this is his dream, and we got angel activities going on. It's like, woo! You know, I think this is where Netflix gets some wow. You know, you could make a movie out of this, and I could even sing a song about it. Anyway, get back. Okay, then he said, I am the Lord God, right? I am the Lord God, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. You will spread out from the west to the east, to the north, to the south. All the people of the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely God is in this place. Okay, and then watch what he says. And then I wasn't even aware of it. And he was afraid, and he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone that he had placed under his head. He set it as a pillar, poured oil on it, and he called this place Bethel. Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Okay. I want to talk about this invitation to the presence of God. We'll pray one more time. Father, let us be here. Let us help us to be present. Help us to be centered. With all the busyness and all the just get to church on Sunday, help us just to put that aside. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Be our guide, be our leader, be our teacher today so that we can experience and we can have this presence in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let me tell you a story. I read this out of a book a couple years ago, and I thought, oh, I should dig that one out. So in 2004, it was the Olympic Games, and they were being held in Athens, Greece. And this particular game is the rifle shooting, all right? The rifle shooting games, okay? And this is the first match, and this guy from the U.S., his name is Matthew Emmons, and he is and was considered the best in the nation. And at this time, in the Olympic Games, he is considered best in the world, right? He is considered to be the best in the world. And so they're at the last part, and he is dominating number one, and all he has to do, all he has to do is just shoot a half-decent shot this time, and he is guaranteed the gold. That's how good he is, and that's where he is at this part. Just have to shoot, Matthew. Just get it on here and just do pretty good, and you will be first place, gold medal, best in the world, all right? So, and if you know anything about Olympians and even the rifle shooters, they are talented. They are practiced. They are like dialed in. They just, right? Okay? And for this, anybody in the rifle shooting things, like they are dialed in that they know how to slow their breath down before they pull the trigger. They even know how to take a shot in between their heartbeats. They know how to focus. They know how to figure out the weather is like this and the wind is like this. And they just dial it in. And they just pull the trigger. Like, they got it down to a T, all right? So, this is Matthew. He is guaranteed a gold medal at this point. And all he has to do is do all those things that he's trained, just dial it in, okay? So he's dialed it in. He's got his breath. Now, I've got a side story. I once was taken rifle shoot hunting for deer. And I got to see this deer, and I pulled my gun, and I didn't have the breath thing down. So obviously this deer lived, okay? But these guys, that was my fun story, okay? And I didn't even with shooting arrows, it's just anything. But anyway, so here's Matthew. It's the point where he is guaranteed a goal. All he has to do is dial it in, take a breath, pull the trigger. So he does. He does go. So all the things that he's been practiced and trained. And he pulls the trigger, and everybody's looking up at the scoreboard, you know, because he's first place, and then they got the American flag in the second and the third. And he pulls the trigger, and everybody's looking at the scoreboard, and he goes from first to eighth place. And everybody's like, what? They're like, it's confusion. What's going on? And they're looking, and what happened is Matthew dialed it in, did his breathing, okay? And he hit the wrong target. And he went from first place to eighth place. Okay, interesting story. I think sometimes as Christians, we can do the same thing. We go through life, we dial in, right? And we can miss the target that God's got for us, right? So like, I got this all figured out. I got some good habits. I'm a Christian, right? I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm doing it. I got this. And I just think sometimes we can miss the target, the God target, the encounter with God target, right? And I feel like that sometimes. I don't know about you, but you know, that I can miss the target, and yet I just know that there's this deep stirring in God for me to hit the right target, right? And I'm just like, God, there's got to be more to this, right? Beyond all the things that I know to do that are right, beyond daily reading my Bible, which is right, beyond Sunday attendance, which is in the Bible, by the way, okay? Beyond knowing how to say the right things, do the right thing, put your hands up and sing, okay? Those are all external things, and I just wonder if there's a different target besides that. And if we're not careful in our life with Jesus, we could be aiming and dialing it in and missing the target that God wants in our life. And we're wondering why. Hey, how come that guy over there, they just look like they got it? How come, that, you know, I read these scriptures in my Bible and I never experienced those stories in my life? How come, you know, I watch this preacher, this podcast, and they got this happen in their life, and then like I feel like they're hitting the target, Lord. How come? You know, I kind of feel like I'm missing the target, guys. These are real conversations I've had in my life. Okay, so I'm just looking at you, right? So what happens is we can be doing things for God instead of learning to be with God. We can be doing, listen, I've got this down, okay? We can be doing these things or learning these things. And you know, all those things I listed, read your Bible, pray every day, grow, they're in your Bible, they're good things to do, right? But we might just be missing the number one invitation from the Father. Hey, be with me. Hey, I want to talk with you. I want to walk with you. I got to speak to you. I got things I want to say. I want, you know, could we be missing that? Okay, there's a book that I gave out. I don't have anymore. It's written by Brother Lawrence. It's a book about yay big. And guess what the title of the book is called? Practicing the Presence of God. And all through this book, he tells you, hey, practicing the presence of God is an everyday thing. Like, and it doesn't end with, you know, you Like in the middle of you sending your emails, you can be in the presence of God. In the middle of, I drove by a school, I cracked up, and there's all these cars lined up. Oh, that's the drop-off line to drop your kids off. Guys, in the middle of the drop-off line, you can be aware of the presence of God. In the middle of your construction site, in the middle of doing homework, in the middle of whatever, you can have the presence of God. You can be aware of the presence of God. And that's what this whole book is about, practicing the presence of God. So, do we have an awareness that God is present with us all the time? All right? I have some days I just go through my whole day and I'm like, who? Okay, I'm being honest, okay? But the last couple of months, and really what sparked this is, how many of you heard about the Asbury revival that's going on? Okay, and I hear this, and I hear people watching this, and I have people, and the Lord said, you'll chase a revival, but this is where it starts. I've been there, done it. You know, hopped on an airplane to this place, okay? So how about, yeah, go ahead and visit, but how about we get to practice the presence of God? Save some money on an airplane ticket, right? Practice the presence of God. And you know, some of you, you might be here and you would just be really honest. You know, Pastor D, I just feel so alone. Like, Pastor D, you know, I know how to dial in the mechanics of being a Christian. I know how to do this stuff, say this stuff, and act this way. But really, I just kind of think like God's forgotten me. Like I just am not hitting the wrong target, right? And maybe some of you, you've been a Christian for a long time. How many? 10 years? 20 years? 30 years? 40 years, I don't know where I am anymore, okay? And it's just, you know, being real honest, it's been a long time since you've, the presence of God in your life. And maybe you even say, I've never even sensed the presence of God in my life. Yet, I'm a Christian, glory, hallelujah, praise the Lord, right? So, Jesus nails this, open up your Bibles to Luke, nails this with doing and being. Very famous story, Martha, Mary, okay? Open up your Bibles. Luke chapter 10. Jesus is addressing Martha, who's just caught up in the busyness, all right? Listen to what he says. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. Everybody say things. Amen. Everybody say stuff.
Stuff.
Yeah. But few things, stuff, are needed, or indeed only one. Jesus goes, Martha, Martha, you're just busy, and you're all worried about this, and this, and this, and doing this, and this, and this, okay? And I don't know about you, but the day we live in, 2023, there's a lot of opportunities to be doing and to be busy. Just so many of them, okay? And we just get, you know, sometimes we just get so wrapped up into things, stuff, issues, and then we make it our soapbox religious thing. And there's a time and a season for all of that, okay? But maybe it's we've kind of just gotten off center. So how about we get back on center and this conversation that Jesus has with Martha. Martha, you're like this, but Mary, right, over there, okay? And he goes on to say, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Mary has chosen what was better, and it will not be taken away from her. I have talked to people, and they have felt like, you know, sense felt, had situations happened in their life, and some things they don't even have words on, and they'll say to me, just feel like I lost my faith. They're even cuter. Somebody took my faith away from me. Oh, I've had people say that. And I'm like, oh no, baby. Okay, I say it a little nicer when I do this, okay. But oh no, baby. It's because you were doing the doing. If I have one more person tell me, well, I can't serve in children's ministry because I'm so burnt out. You were doing the doing. You were doing the doing, and you weren't with Jesus, okay? And you know, they'll say, oh, well, I did church camp, and I served, and I did the giving thing, and I went here, and I went there, and you know, that's why I lost my faith. Heck no, baby. That's not why. You forgot to be with him. Everybody say, be with him.
Yeah.
Right? And listen, I'm a do, a do, a do, a do. But being with him, experience being with him. All right? So in the midst of, even in, listen, life is not perfect. It's not a bowl full of cherries. We got some good days and some not so good days. And in the middle of the frustrations and the not so good days, I just have to recenter my life where I go, God is with me. He loves me. And I'm with him. And it's okay. That has to be the core of your beginning, middle, and end, okay? A couple of years ago, I was trying to, man, it's been 10 years ago, I did this with a grow group, and I said, I want you all to write your story. And last night, we had Mark and Luke, who else? And Heather and Michelle give their story, all right? Give their story. But anyway, back up. So I was doing this grow group at my house, and I said, I want you to write a piece of paper, short is better, your story. And listen, guys, it is really important you know the gospel story, all right? It is really important that you know the Christian story, the story that God wrote so that we could be invited into. You need to know that. You do. But in the core, you have to know your story because you have coworkers, you have friends, you have family, you have neighbors, and they don't want the Genesis to Revelation 5,000 scripture explanation. Okay, they don't. Okay? But they want to know why you believe what you believe. They want to know what happened to you. Why are you so like this? Compelled and driven. You know, they want to know that. Your story. Everybody say, my story. Right? Okay, so they want to know that. They're watching that. And I had that happen. I had a cousin. She's from Oregon. She and her husband came in town a couple years back. And I greeted them and then I left them at my house for about 3 hours because I was going to do a funeral. And I come back and I'm in my little black dress, which now is a little bit bigger black dress, okay? My little Pastor D black dress. And when we sat back on my deck, and she goes, "What? Tell me why you do this. Tell me, you basically who you are. Tell me about this." She did not want to know Genesis to Revelation, 5,000 scriptures, and I just told her my story, and she had tears coming down her face, and she told me some things about her life. Okay, people want to hear your story because that's real. And you can't tell me I didn't have this story, because this is my story, right? All right, so anyway, right, so, you know, you think about my story, and I think I heard this story, and I heard this story, I heard this story, and you know, you think about the Bible, that's pretty wild. Genesis to Revelation, they got a lot of wild stuff going on. Like, God created the heavens and the earth out of nothing? That's kind of wild. Right? And then you read some of these other stories. I think the Genesis has got wild stories. You're like, whoa, this is crazy. Okay, and then let's just move to the New Testament. And we have this guy named Jesus, the Son of God, born of a virgin. Okay? And then he's walking the earth, and he's doing miracles, blind eyes open, walking on water, raising the dead. And then he goes on the cross, and he dies, and he's in the tomb for 3 days, and he's raised up, and then he's walking around, walking through walls. Kind of wild stories, right? They're great stories. They're wild stories, though. Okay? And then one day, he's with his buddies, and he's taken to heaven, like elevator style. Shh. And he yells down, "But I'm going to send the Holy Ghost, and he'll be with you forever, and then I'm coming back for you." And we're believers, Christians, we're like, "What? I love those stories. Come on. They're great stories." But someone who's not an outsider, they're like, "Sure, I'm okay," right? But you tell them your story. Okay. Wild stories versus your stories, okay. There's a big difference about knowing the story and my story. There's a big difference in knowing about God and I'm with him. We're together, right? So there has to come a moment where you talk to these coworkers and somebody you're going to school with in a family where they just, listen. This is going to sound wild, but you know, I used to be blank, an addict, blank, whatever. And one day, I just went to the Father, God, and I prayed. And I know this sounds really wild, but something happened. I was just, I don't know, but I know. Those are your stories. They do big things, okay? Remember the story in the Bible about this blind guy who gets healed? Right? Jesus heals him. You have to say Jesus heals him. Jesus heals him. And immediately the religious boys come after him. Who did that to you? What happened? What's his name? And you know the blind guy who now is not the blind guy who sees, he goes, I don't know who it is. I don't know what happened. But I was once this way, and then I had an encounter with Jesus. And now, an encounter with Jesus changes your life, gives you a story. Okay. So these stories, you're not going to have unless you have an encounter in the presence of Jesus. And these stories aren't just the day I received Jesus. These are my stories every day. I'm not going to have stories every day unless you get into the presence and have an encounter with Jesus. Right? So, Martha, Martha, you're so busy. Martha, Martha, stuff and things. Listen to you. This is a quote from Corrie Ten Boom. Listen to what she said. If the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. Everybody say busy. I know. Listen, we live time. It is maxed out with everything you can be busy with. And then just talking about technology, you just get sucked into a screen. And then, you know, hours and hours and hours. Been there, done that. Okay? So the enemy and the world from the beginning of time wants to give you a substitute for God. You know, they got all these sugar substitutes. I tried them. They taste terrible. Okay? I like the real sugar. I'm kind of moderating a little bit, but you know. But the enemy and the devil, they're trying to give you a substitute from who God is, right? Okay, so sometimes we're looking for something else, somewhere else, and what else? And God's going, me, hey, me. Hey, come to me. There's good stuff in me. I want to talk to you. I want to hang out with you. I want to just be with you. Me. Okay? Well, we're busy, Martha. All right? I know. I have to work on this in my life. Okay? And you know the person who knew about this? Moses. Open up your Bibles to Exodus. Moses knew about this. Moses, he's just taken a zillion billion children of Israel out of Egypt, right? And he's having this conversation with the Lord. But God's having a conversation with him, okay? In the middle of the conversation, listen to what he says. Exodus chapter 33. The Lord said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of this earth? Moses is saying, hey, I'm glad you know you're saying you're going to go with us. But if you don't go with us, I don't want to go. I'm staying. You know, I'm staying. I don't want to go any place but with you. Right? And I love it. I need you. Do you hear that? Listen, I need you. And then he points to everybody else. We need you. All right? You know, I love that scripture, but I kind of hate that scripture. Because it convicts me. There's times I just don't, right? I just get caught up. Listen, I can sing the song just like the rest of you, but really do I need you, I need you. You know, but really do I need the Lord? Because sometimes I'm just kind of moving aside here, okay? So the better question, I gotta read. What am I doing in my life right now? What are you doing, stuff you got going on in your life right now, that you would not be possible unless you're with the Lord? What are you doing in your life right now that wouldn't be possible without the presence of the Lord? And if you say, nothing, I got this. You know, I kind of control everything. I'm a control freak. I got this. Then maybe that's a yellow flag on the football field or the red flag on the football field. Like, wow, you're not given space for the presence and to hang out with God. Just, you know, I got this. We're good. I'm going to read you a quote. It's a big long one. It's by Leonard Ravenhill. Fiery evangelist. He just plastered to the wall and read his stuff. Okay? And I do have a book. I didn't lend that out, and I know where it is. Okay. Leonard Ravenhill, listen to what he says. Today, God is bypassing men, not because they're too ignorant, ready? But because they are too self-sufficient. I got this. No, I'm managing everything. No problem, right? Brethren or sisterin, your abilities are your handicaps. Your talents are your stumbling blocks. You know, when we think we can manage everything, when we think we can control everything, when we think I got this planned out, I know where I'm going, I got the future, okay? And maybe there's something the matter there, right? And the thing about this, listen, he doesn't want you to be a dummy and just sit there. There are times we are using our gifts and our talents, but when we go, I got this, I don't need to come into the presence of God and talk to him and hear with him, walk with him. Ooh, something's not good. So I really believe, could be wrong, but God is calling us back to being dependent on him. Dependent on him. So I have done this 100 times and I'm like, smack me in the face. You know, we're talking about something and we got some issues going on. Somebody's sharing some problems and we're talking. And then I go, and you see too. Oh, by the way, let's pray. So I should be like, let's start right now, okay? Dependency, all right, dependency. Okay. You know, the last couple years, people used to come to church here. Some of them are watching because of reasons, and some of them, you know, they're just, okay? And they started questioning, how come this? Where is God in all this? You know? I listen to people just ask, like, what? And, you know, and God's like, I'm right here. You know, I'm here waiting for you to come and sit with me. I will talk with you. I will walk with you. I will lead you. I got you. I love you. Right? So, yeah, there's times I have questions, but I just run back. Now, here's another one. I am of the charismatic movement. Some of you are charismatic, okay? And I love it, okay? And I love all the miracles. I love all the manifestations. I love all the wild things that God does. Some people do things that are not God, okay? Okay, I love all of that, and I want all of that, okay? And watch this. So we have our favorites that we watch, okay, and so. And they've got healings and manifestations and deliverances and like, whoa! And right away we think, they must know God. Because look, they must wow, I wish we could do that. Yeah, we should do that. And you know, the problem is, we think, I've been there, done it, okay? Just because the things that they do, we think, whoa, and that's not how you measure their relationship. Well, they had ears open, eyes open. That's not how you measure someone's deep relationship. It's just being with God. Just be with God. Just hang out with Him, right? Okay, I also love the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you what, I am charismatic, Pentecostal, Word of Faith, and Rainbow graduate. Shum de gada ba ba ba, baby. Okay? I love all that stuff. And I want all that stuff. I want to hear. I want to experience it. I want you to experience it. I want our churches to experience it. I want all that stuff. But how about, you know, the Lord is saying, I'm loving you. So sometimes I catch myself, I want all that, the Spirit of God moving and the manifestations, but I don't want the fruit of the Spirit. Because, you know, that would mean I'd have to sit down with the Lord and He'd say, kindness, gentleness, patience, love, and you know, those are kind of be with God. Those are sometimes the tough times. Those are good, but you know, we just kind of like, so I'd rather have all of this stuff going on than be with God. But you know, listen, He's a Father. He loves you. We're not special. Okay, let me say this again. God is all-knowing. He knows everything, the beginning and the end. He knows all about you, inside, outside. He knows all that's going to happen, okay? But just kind of go with me on this. Could He possibly be saying, I don't really know you? No? Okay. Because, you don't ever spend time with me. Did you sit down and talk to me about this horrendous situation that just crushed your heart? And did you ever sit down and talk to me about this issue about the family you came out of? You don't even talk to me about your hopes and your dreams. I don't want Him saying, I don't want Him saying, I don't know you. But just think, you know, I mean, He doesn't really say that because He's with us, but think about that, okay? And then I could just see Him poking you. But you know, you go to all your girlfriends and you go to all your family and you tell them everything. And then you put it on social media to a bunch of strangers. But hey, why don't you come and be with me and tell me and just be with me? He's pretty awesome. He's good. Bring it to Him. Bring it to Him. Okay. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to wrap it here. So we're talking about encounters in the presence of God, okay? Now, I'm not talking about walking around with goosebumps. I'm not talking about that you've got a glory cloud going on and you're like, wah! I'm not talking about that, okay? All right? What I am saying is that we should live our lives so that we can experience the presence of God. So there's going to be moments where just, I can't explain it, like I just sense this presence of God in my life and, you know, I just wanted to cry, or I just wanted to laugh, or I just, you know, I just want to come into His presence because I'm just so grateful that He was so long-suffering with me when I was such a turkey, and I just can't help but say, God, thank You that You're with me, okay? So I want to have His presence, all right? Now, I have four kids, adults, so I know just a little bit about kids. But, and I get to see this again because I've got grandkids, but this little 3.5-year-old, she loves gifts. Kids love gifts. She loves gifts. And she is not ashamed to tell me what she wants. But she lives in Missouri, so I got to mail this. And she's just right up there. She loves gifts. She loves Annie, but she loves gifts. Now, but I do remember my kids, and they, maybe they weren't 3 years old anyways, they got a little older. You know what they loved most? They love to be with their dad. I wasn't first on the list sometimes. They love to be with their dad. But dad, let's go for a drive, which meant we were going to get Mountain Dew, okay? Or and I don't remember so much this, but my one girlfriend says, you know, they go, Dad, let's take all the cushions off the sofa. Let's get the blankets out. Let's make a fort, and let's sleep there tonight. And dad's like, I just want to be with you. It's going to be the worst night's sleep, right? But I want to be with you, right? And so, how many dads would just, you do it? Your kid wants to be with you. I just kind of think that's the heart of the Father. Hey, I want to be with you. Come, take some time, be with me, right? that, listen, when they want to be with you, it just melts your heart. Okay, I get in there too. They like to be with you. We do cooking and stuff like that. Okay? So in closing, how do we do this? How do we have the presence of God? How do we experience the presence of God? I'm going to give you two quick things, and then we're going to practice it, okay? Awareness. You've got to be aware of the presence of God, okay? Okay? Back to our story of Jacob. Ready? Jacob left Beersheba. He went to Haran. He gets tired, goes finds a rock. He lays down on the rock. He has a dream, and it's this wild dream, and he gets up in the morning, and he goes, surely God is in this place. And I wasn't even aware. Clueless. Surely God was here. I wasn't aware of this. All right? So you have to be aware. Be aware. All right? And I just want to say this. I think there's a whole bunch of holy places in your life. Places. I think there's these sacred moments in your life. Okay? And you might not be aware of them. Here? What? Here? I'm doing dishes. Here. I'm sending emails. Here. Okay? I'm driving kids, and I let them out. Here. Okay? All right? So, worship team, if you want to come up, we're going to figure this out, all right? Remember, Jacob went to someplace in the middle of nowhere. So it really wasn't like a on the corner of Richland and Country Club. It wasn't one of those kind of things. It was just a place. It was just a place, okay? And at that place, he encountered the presence of God. Heaven and earth colliding. The voice, the presence of God was there. And it changed his life. So what if you start picking a meeting place, a place, a day, every day, once a week, come on. Start picking a place, a moment where you have encounters with God, right? Now, maybe it's at the kitchen table at 7 o'clock in the morning, okay? I started there, and then Jack came to the table, and I moved to the sofa. It's like, hey, you're in my place, okay? And then, say, how about this? You get up, this is not me. You stay up late. I don't want to say late. And you go to the sofa. You know that end of the sofa? And there's Cheerio crumbs and Matchbox toys and I don't know what else. And you just push it aside and you say, God, I'm here. I'm going to have a meeting with you. This is my place. Or maybe you leave, you drive to work a little bit early, sit in the parking lot, and you go, God, I'm here. I'm here to be with you. I'm here to be in your presence. I'm here to let you talk to me. And I'm here just to be with you. Right? So how about we have designated times and meetings with the Lord. And they don't have to be long. Maybe you can't do it every single day, okay? So you have to be aware of the presence of God. Number two, we're looking at this, here we go. You have to practice. You have to practice the presence of God, okay? How do you practice the presence of God? I can give you a whole list, but I'm only giving you three. Ready? Silence. Silence is number one. Prayer is number two, and worship is number three. So how do I practice it? This one's hard. I've gotten better. I've trained myself. Be still and know that I am God. Just get quiet. So I will tell you one that when I start this, usually I've got all these thoughts. I just write them down, put that paper down, and then I go, take a deep breath, and I start. I just get quiet. Okay, then I have one more thought. I'm like, all right, I'll write it down so I don't forget it. But then I just get quiet. Be still. Be still. Be still. Okay? And I just want to warn you, the first time you do it, it's going to be hard. Second time you do it, it'll be harder. Third time you're going to do it, you're going to go, I don't know if this thing's even working. But listen, pick a place. Just pick a designated place to meet with God, to get quiet. And I guarantee you will, sooner or later, you will have an encounter. You'll just be in the presence of God. All right. Okay, second thing is prayer. Okay, prayer. Begin with prayer. You know, prayer doesn't always have to be you're doing all the talking. Okay? There is a dialogue, but sometimes it's just, God, this is my prayer. God, I'm here just to listen. I'm just going to listen to you. God, Father, you do all the talking. I'm just here to listen. And you know, there's other times you're going to go into prayer and you're going to go, God, I'm just going to tell you about what's going on. You can do that. But it's real short, okay? That's real short. And sometimes, you know, you're not asking for anything. You're just going to be, all right? And the last thing is worship. And that's what we're going to practice together, okay, with worship in a moment. But again, if you want, I'm going to make a time. I'm going to make a place where I'm going to be aware of God, and I'm going to practice his presence through being just quiet. 30 seconds quiet, you know, quiet, and prayer and worship, okay? So I'm going to ask you all to stay in your seats. I don't want you standing this time or coming up front, okay? I want you to just get comfortable. Yeah, these chairs are so comfortable. Okay, and I want you to put your hands out like this. Okay, it's not like a chair. Rest up, get comfortable, okay? Just like this. Hands open. You know what? This is a posture of giving and receiving. Okay? Just get your hands open, alrighty? And don't look around, okay? And some of you, you're like, wow. Presence of God when we go into worship is like, I feel this like weight. You know, my arms and my shoulders. That could be that's the presence of God, okay? Some of you, you know, the thoughts, you're going to be reminded of situations and stuff that happened, and the Lord's going to say, hey, I was with you all through that. That could be in the presence of God. So talk to you that way. The Hebrew word for what it means, the presence of God, is to come to face somebody. So when you do this, you're going to face God, and he's going to face you. Isn't that beautiful? Praise God. So we're going to get quiet. I'm going to take a breath. I got you. This is the hardest part for me some days. Okay. Father, I'm going to pray. Father, we acknowledge you as our Father. We are dependent on you right now. For some of us, we're going to repent. Father, I repent that I've done life not needing you. I've just been managing everything. And Father, I repent also for just being busy. And busy in my own strength. Busy doing this, and I've not included you. Okay? God, we want our life, we want our families to be centered and dependent on you. That's what we want, Lord. Like Moses, we should be, I'm not going unless you're there. That should be our statement. God, I'm not going anywhere unless you're there in my life, okay? So, we're just going to sit here, and you can let them sing over you. You can sing if you want to. But I'm just going to say, Lord, here I am to meet with you in your presence right now.
Nothing else will do. I just want.
You have a story every day that impacts